Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, folks. Good afternoon. This is Joan Matthews coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, and I greet every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. It is August 24, 2020, and I just want to just start out with saying, Lord, I thank you for your mercies. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your tenderness, your patience, and your long-suffering towards us, Lord. Lord, if we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I praise your name, Lord. I worship you, honor you, Lord. I pray over everyone. I pray for everyone that's listening to this message. I pray for everyone that's praying for me. I pray for my family. I pray for the family of God, and I give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, I pray for our children, Lord God. Lord, Father, many times, Lord God, they have been taught the way, but have gone the way of the flesh or the way of the world. Lord, I pray for our children that you may draw them to you, Lord God, that you may give them a heart to desire you, that you may give them a heart to know you, Lord. I pray for every single one of the people that's in my thoughts right now, that you may meet their needs, that you may show them the way, that you may open up doors for them where there is none and close the ones you don't want them to walk through. I thank you, Lord, and I bless your name tonight because you are the God of gods and the Lord of lords. There is no other God besides you. You alone is God, and there is none but you. Father, I thank you for your mercies, Lord, and I thank you for seeing us through this day, Lord God. For seeing us through this day, Lord, as we enter into the night. Lord, I pray Psalm 91 of our lives, that 10,000 will fall on our side and 10,000 on the other side. But nothing shall come nigh our dwelling place. Only with our eyes we shall behold the destruction of the wicked. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that no pestilence and no plagues come nigh our dwelling place. I pray against the principalities and powers in high places, Lord. I pray against the workers of iniquity, the workers of darkness, Lord. I pray over the cities and towns, Lord God, over the cities of America, over the and islands of the Caribbean, Lord God, and all around the world, Lord God, where the enemy have taken up a stronghold, Lord God, in certain cities, where there are so many crimes happening, Lord. I pray over these cities right now. I pray over St. Vincent. I pray and the Grenadines. I pray over Trinidad. I pray over Jamaica. I pray over New York City. I pray over Michigan and Minnesota. I pray over all of the states of the United States of America, Lord God, where crime is prevalent, where the enemy have set up stronghold, Lord God, that you may send forth legions upon legions of angels, that they may come down, Lord God, and scatter the demonic realm, scatter the demonic forces that have taken up stronghold, that has caused all this violence to happen in these areas of the world, oh God. But some of these areas, people are saying that there's so many crimes going on, but know that these areas where there are so many crimes going on and so many drugs and shooting, all in Mexico, where so many deaths to drugs and gun shooting, these are strongholds of the enemy, where the enemy is actually have set up shop. And Father, I pray that you may send down your angels to disrupt, to scatter, to bring confusion, and to drive these demonic forces out of these areas, Lord God. And set your angels guard over these areas, Lord, I pray. And I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. There are so many crimes happening, so many killing. Look what just happened in Michigan. And another on a black man just walking towards his car, shot 7 times in his back. Why? These officers, whether you guys like it or not, these police officers, you know, the police forces, these police forces, it's a demon, it's a spirit running these organizations. We look at each other as though we are fleshly being, but I'm telling you right now that a lot of these organizations have been handed over to the wicked one. A lot of these organizations, the military, the police forces, have been handed over to the wicked one in some of these states. And that's why these police officers, they can't help themselves, because they are being moved by their demonic forces to shoot and to kill and to do these things and to have this prejudiced mind against certain minority. And it's a spirit, folks. It's a spirit. The Bible tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the demonic forces and against all wickedness in our high places. And these high places, folks, are not just in the heavenlies. Yes, in the heavenlies and high places where the demonic and the fallen angels dwell, but we're talking in high places of government, in high places of the military, in high places of churches, in high places of the police forces. These people, you know, these are wickedness in high places. And we have to call them as we see them. And this is why, before we head out in the morning, before we start doing anything, we ought to plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. We have to ask the Lord to put a hedge of protection over us. We have to cover our family and ourselves with the blood of Jesus, lest the gate of hell prevail against us. Because Satan, right now, he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's raging, knowing his time is short. And we have to pray without ceasing. We have to pray like we've never prayed before. We have to call unto God. I remember the Lord said to me, call unto me night and day in sackcloth and ashes to show yourself approved. We have to call unto God night and day, weeping and mourning in sackcloth and ashes, to show ourselves approved to God. The forces of darkness is encircling us. Jesus Christ said, the Lord said in Isaiah, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness to people. And this is what's happening. Darkness is covering the earth and gross darkness is covering the people. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24 that if he doesn't come back, if he doesn't shorten the time, no flesh will be left upon the earth. So I encourage each and every single one of you to just, all of us, including myself, we have to repent of our sins every day. We have to practice righteousness. We have to ask God to help us, to show us what to do, to show us how to walk in this life. Because, you know, I would say after the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures, he restored my soul. He lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, we shouldn't fear any evil. We shouldn't fear anything from any man. Because we know that God is with us. We know that his rod and his staff comfort us. also yesterday. I was talking about Adam, and the first Adam and the second Adam, and how we end up being here in the flesh, how you and I end up being here in the flesh, how Adam brought the fallen angels to a place of flesh. Adam brought the fallen angels here into this world. Just as the Lord God, see Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, even as the Lord God put on flesh, even as the Lord God put on flesh, came here into this world to die for us, even so, you and I are angels in the flesh. We sinned as angelic beings. Adam is not responsible for our sins. Adam is not responsible for us being here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 tells us, for verily he took not on the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Talking about our Father who put himself in human flesh. He put himself in a flesh body for the purpose of saving you and I. What a great sacrifice that is. That the God of gods and the Lord of lords, who created the heavens and the earth, the God who made everything, the God who is the kingdom and the power and the glory. He is the life of the universe. He's the creator of all things. He could have destroyed us. He could have destroyed us, all one third of the angels of heaven. He could have destroyed us, but he didn't. He made a way. He made a plan for you and I to be saved, to be redeemed, to be grafted back into his side, onto his side. He did all of that because he loves us so very much. So Genesis 3:12, I'll continue from there. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now think about it really, really good. If truly, you know, it really boggles my mind that you know, and I'm not putting any preachers down. That preachers would preach that, you know, Eve eat an apple or a fruit and gave it to her husband, and she, you know, and that's the reason why, you know, all of this happened. And just imagine, you know, we have Jesus Christ, when he spoke, when he walked the earth and he was speaking of, and saying to the people, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He who eat my flesh and drink my blood shall have everlasting life. You know, the Bible said many of his disciples who followed him walk away from him. They left him because they said, Who can hear these sayings? These are some hard sayings. who can, you know, why, you know, eat his flesh, drink his blood? What kind of nonsense is this? How can we eat his flesh and drink his blood? And, you know, folks, many of them who followed him, the Bible says, walked away. And Yeshua looked at the other 12 apostles, and he said unto them, will you also leave me? Will you also go? Peter looked at him and said, Lord, you have the word of life. Where would we go? Where are we going to go to get these things that you're telling us? The point I'm trying to make is that, you know, the word of God is as strong and as powerful and as fresh today as it was when it was first written, when it was first penned, when it was first spoken. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changed not. And so the point I'm trying to make is that just as when we read the word of God and we don't understand what the word of God is saying to us, we are not to make up our own conclusion or come up with our own interpretation of the word of God. We are not supposed to do that. We're not doing justice. We're not glorifying God that way. And we're not helping others by helping to open their eyes unto what the word of God says. So when we read the word of God and we don't understand, we are to meditate on it. We are to study the word of God. But above all things, we are to seek God about the word. We are to seek him. Because the Bible tells us that scriptures does not come by interpretation of man, but by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is of God, is the one who opened our understanding unto the word of God. So we need to seek God and say, Lord, I'm reading these scriptures, I'm reading this, but I don't know what I'm reading, I don't understand. This is how I start off. Every time I start reading the Bible, I tell the Lord, I said, Father, I'm reading your word, but I have no idea what I'm reading. I'm reading it, but I don't understand it. Would you please open my understanding? And the Holy Spirit comes, and he shined a light. You know, the Bible talks of the 10 virgins. 5 was wise and 5 was foolish. The 5 wise virgins, they had the lamp and they had oil. The lamp is the word of God. They know the word of God back to front. And they had the oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit who comes in and illuminate the lamp or the word of God inside of them. The Holy Spirit shines light, or in other words, he brings to their understanding what the word of God is saying. So it shines as a light inside of them. It illuminates them. Or it's like a light bulb will go off in you. You say, oh, that's how it is. And so during the time, you know, when Yeshua walked the earth and he was speaking certain things, you know, he told them, the apostles, he said, why do you talk about what I'm saying amongst yourself? You know, you mumbling amongst yourself about what I'm saying. You know, you haven't even asked me what I'm saying. You haven't even asked for understanding. He said, ask and it shall be, and seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and the door shall be opened. He said, we have not because we ask not. So we have to ask the Lord God for understanding and for interpretation of his word. Sorry, I just went down on a tantrum there. So the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So you see, the Lord God confronted the woman. The woman is symbolic to the church. The woman is symbolic to the bride of Christ and to the church. And he said, you notice he didn't confront Adam, the man. He confronted the woman. And unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception. So there you go. Could you imagine you eating a fruit off of a tree, and all of a sudden your Father, which, you know, our Heavenly Father, God, our Father. And, you know, he's saying, oh, because you eat of this fruit, I'm going to multiply your sorrow and your conception. I don't think eating a fruit have anything to do with conception and bringing forth children. So this is what, like I said, this is a revelation from the Lord to me, because I asked and I knocked on the door and the Lord revealed to me, bring to my understanding what actually happened in the Garden of Eden. Because I asked the Lord, I said, Father, what exactly happened in the Garden of Eden? What was it that Eve was tempted with? What did Lucifer tempt Eve with? Why, you know, what was it? And the Lord God showed me that, I remember Claire was there, I was sitting on the train coming home from work, and I was reading the Word of God, and I was reading Genesis, and I just stopped, and I just started asking the Lord, you know, what happened? What did Lucifer tempt Eve with? What was the temptation? And like I was saying, you know, Jesus Christ said, let me go back. Jesus Christ said, when he was saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he said, the words that I speak, they're not flesh and they're not blood. They're not flesh and blood, but they are spirit and they are truth. So when he was talking about eating his flesh and blood, he was just saying, you know, that I am going to give up my life, my flesh, as a sacrifice to you. It's the bread of life. It's not a physical piece of bread that you eat, but it's a spiritual manna from heaven. You know, it's a spiritual food that you eat, just like we eat physical food to maintain our physical body. We have to eat the spiritual food, which is the truth, which is the Word of God, which is his love that flows through us. We have to eat the spiritual manna from heaven to sustain and to maintain and to keep alive our soul. And the blood symbolizes the living water, which we have to drink. So it's not flesh and it's not blood, but it's life, but it's truth and it's life. So just as those things are not literal, the tree is not a literal tree, and the fruit is not a literal fruit. So the tree of knowledge of good and evil is Lucifer himself. And the tree and the fruit is not a piece of fruit that you eat, but it is the works of the spirit, the works of the flesh. It's the work of the flesh, which if you read in the book of Ephesians, it tells you, I think Ephesians 6 tells you, about all of the works of the flesh. So after Eve went in and had and laid with Lucifer, she ate of the fruit. She ate of the lie. She believed the lie, and then she not only believed the lie, she ate it. She did the act. She acted on the lie, and her husband. People think that, oh, Adam did not know that Eve was going to do this. Oh, and I heard preachers say that, oh, Eve cheated on Adam. And Adam didn't know. Yes, Adam knew exactly what Eve was about to do. Because when I asked the Lord said to me, he revealed in my heart that Lucifer tempted Eve by showing her all the animals in the Garden of Eden. They were procreating. They were all having little baby animals, and Eve loved the animals. She loved the baby animals. And since God had promised Adam that he will give, they should multiply and replenish the earth, and they had probably lived maybe hundreds of years, I don't know, maybe years together, and still no children, and they did not seek the Lord. And reminding the Lord, and the Lord said, you know, Lucifer continued to tempt Eve. You know, the Bible talk about the temptation in the Garden of Eden. He continued to tempt her with her becoming like gods, you know, knowing good and evil and being able to procreate and having her own children. He tempted her, and he will be the father to father these children. And so And so Adam agreed with Eve gave Adam, told Adam exactly what she was about to do, what Lucifer told her, and he agreed. Just the same way as that Lucifer put that thought into Sarah's mind, and Sarah, you know, eat that fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil also. This is what the Lord showed me. He said Abraham made the same mistake as Adam and Eve did. Abraham and Sarah, and I could have never put the two together had the Lord not brought it to my attention. And he said, you know, Sarah gave that fruit to her husband Abraham. And Abraham ate. He ate the fruit. He ate the lie. He agreed with his wife Sarah, and Sarah gave to Abraham Hagar, you know, her Egyptian maid, to go in and sleep with her. And that was the result of Ishmael. And so the Lord God put the two together, and that, so Abraham, you know, and Sarah agreed to the thing, and the same way the Lord showed me that Adam and Eve agreed to the thing. This is why Cain is not numbered in the genealogy of Adam and Eve. And this is a revelation from the Lord. I did not make it up, and I did not put my own two cents to it. And so, okay, where was I? So, continuing from Genesis chapter 2. Continue verse 16. For the Lord God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children. And so sinners began to enter into the world, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so, folks, these are the angels. You and I are the fallen angels that come into the world. Jesus, the Bible said in Hebrew. Let me just segue back up a little bit here before I continue. Hebrew chapter 2 verse 14 tells us, for as much then as the children. Can somebody pull out their Bible and read with me? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. For as much then as the children, which are the angels, which are the fallen angels, are partakers of flesh and blood. Okay. If we were just merely human beings, why would the scripture say as much as we are partakers of flesh and blood? How can we partake of something that we already are? Can't happen. For as much as the children, which are the fallen angels, you and I, we are partakers of the flesh and blood. He himself also took part of the same. We, the fallen angels, took part of the flesh and blood. We agree with the Father, from before we came in our mother's womb, when we sinned, when the war broke out in heaven, and when doubt entered into our heart, we doubted God. There was much confusion. And the Lord God, we had to make a decision. God doesn't push himself on us. He doesn't force himself on us. He allows us to make our own decision on our own self. When the decree went out, those of us who accepted the grace of God through his mercy had to come here. We put on flesh, the Lord God said. He said he was going to send me on a journey, and I'm sure I'm not the only one he said it to. I'm going to send you on a journey in the flesh, and when you get there, you will not remember your former estate. But I have put the light inside of you, and if you follow the light, you will find your way back to me. We know that John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. So, God himself took on flesh, just like his children, his angels, that were separated from his side, from his presence in heaven. They were grafted back. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 tells us, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats shall take away sins. Wherefore, when he, that is God, cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So God prepared himself a body to come here in the flesh to take away our reproach, to take away our sins. And I just want to say, and I may have repeated this before, but I think that, you know, when I talk on certain things, you know, it's very important for me to put all these revelations that the Lord God had given to me. The Lord God said to me, do you think that I would create someone other than myself to die for the sins of the world? This is what the Lord asked me. And I pondered these things in my heart, and the Lord God said, even so. No, the Lord said, "If what kind of a sacrifice do you think that would be? If I can create someone to die other than myself, to die for the sins of the world?" And I said, "Lord, that wouldn't be much of a sacrifice at all, since you can create, you can speak to a stone or a tree and it become a man. Since you can do anything and you can speak things into existence, that would mean that you abuse your own power. So that wouldn't be much of a sacrifice." And he said, "Even so, I created myself a body." So that's just the Lord confirming with me. And it's a testimony to those out there who doesn't believe that God, the Father, came here in the flesh, because I know that there are many, 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 many pastors who taught for years. Because I speak with this pastor, and he said he preached for over 50 years, and him and I was having a conversation, and he was beside himself when we were talking that God, he is God in the flesh. And he's like, "How is it possible? How is it possible that God can come as his own son?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me? He created the universe. He spoke things into existence. There are no impossibilities with him. There is nothing too hard for God to do. He separated himself from himself. He separated himself from himself. He can cause. God is sorry, he's not a little God. He's not to be viewed from a human point of view, from our fleshly point of view. The Lord God showed me that he's separated himself from himself. God can put himself in one flesh body. He can put himself in a million flesh bodies. As a matter of fact, he is in trillions and billions of flesh bodies, because Jesus Christ in us, when we have, the Bible says we must have the mind of Christ. So we have the mind of Christ. That means that's God in us. That's he in us. And check this out, folks. This is a good one. I really didn't want to tell this testimony right yet, but I think it's the perfect time for me to say this about us becoming one with God. So we know that the greatest commandment in the entire Bible is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And the second one is like it, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so, folks, one day as I was getting ready to go to work, I was meditating on the love of God, how he loves us so very much, and how I was just thinking, I really don't deserve the love that God has given to me, and I really don't deserve the fact that He, once I sinned, He put on flesh and like me and just died for me. Just that, you know, He wants to share His word with me. I was just saying, it was just me and Him, and I was just couldn't fathom that He would love me that so much. And then all of a sudden, I felt just an overcome. This is something that I had prayed for in a long time. I prayed and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to experience loving You. I just don't want to love You. I want to experience what it is, what it means to love You. I want to love You the way You desire to love me. I want the way You desire for me to love You. I want to love You with my entire existence. I want to love You to the point where there is nothing left in me to love the world or to love anything else. I want every inch of me to be in love with You. And I said to the Lord at one point, I said, I would like to experience what it means to love You. And I remember that morning, as I was thinking about how God loves me, this cat, he just like to just curl up next to me when I'm doing this. Anyway, and at that point, I just felt an overwhelming, it's the first and last time that I've ever really experienced the depths of what it means to love God. I felt so overwhelmed with love for the Father at that point, that morning. It was nothing that I've ever experienced before and after. And at that point, as I felt that way, I said to the Lord, I said, Father, I feel so much love inside of me for You right now. I don't know what to do with myself. And really and truly at that point, I didn't know what to do with myself, but I felt that my love for the Lord had overtaken me, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I felt out of place. I felt like I didn't belong in this world. I felt like I didn't belong in my body. I felt like I was about to just leave my body and just fly away like a bird out of a cage. I said, Lord, I feel so much love inside of me for You. I don't know what to do with myself. And at that point, as soon as I said those words, I was taken out of time and into eternity. As I stood in eternity, I knew, I looked up, and there was endlessness. There was nothing. I looked down from where I was standing in eternity, and I was standing on absolutely nothing. It was endlessness. I looked all around me, and in my vision or I don't know what it was, but I knew at that point that I was in eternity, because you know these things. And as I stood in eternity, it was endlessness. There was no up or there was no down. There was no light and there was no darkness. It was just, I just had a sense of that I was standing in endlessness, in a place where there was no beginning or no ending. And I knew that it was eternity. And I stood in eternity, and there was a voice talking to me. I didn't see anyone, but the voice was talking. It's like the Lord was asking me, or an angel, I have no idea. But I was asked 5 questions. I was asked, are you ready to be taught of Him forever and ever and ever for all eternity? Are you ready to be taught of Him forever and ever for all eternity? Are you ready to learn of Him forever and ever for all eternity? Are you ready to love Him forever and ever for all eternity? Are you ready to be with him forever and ever for all eternity? And then the last question was, and they put this question differently, and eventually, are you ready to be made one with him forever and ever for all eternity? And all I can say is, yes, 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 I am ready to be taught of him forever and ever. So you see, folks, in eternity, when we get there, when we go back, when we get back to the side of the Father in his presence, we will be taught of him for all eternity. We will be learning of him for all eternity. We are going to love him. And I was asked this question, if I was ready for that, and if I was, and it's going to be for all eternity, because I was standing in eternity. And then I was asked, are you ready to love him forever and ever for all eternity? Folks, if we can't really love him now in this short period of time, how are we going to learn to live? How are we going to start loving him when Yeshua come back to get us? I remember, and you know what, and let me just finish this up. I mean, I forget what I was going to say really fast, but I'm just writing down something that I want to say that I may forget. But so, you know, so you see that we are going to, and then the last question I was asked, and eventually, are you ready to be made one with him forever and ever and ever for eternity? So you see that we are going to be one with the Father, just as Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is one with the Father. And he is God himself in the flesh, but he said he's one, you know, the Word of God says he's one with the Father. And if we as children, he's an example as to how God wants us to be. He wants us to be made one with him, meaning that we're going to have, just right now, everything is a shadow of things to come. We see to a glass darkly. The Bible tells us that we are to have the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ, we become one with him. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, oh, how does the Lord talk to you? Well, he talks to me in many different ways. Like how he took me into eternity. That's one of the ways he talked to me. And many dreams, and I've seen a lot of visions. And then he comes in my mind, and I just know things. He just download information in my mind. And then there are times when the Lord would just, like, when he asks me, do you think that I would create someone other than myself to die for the sins of the world? He spoke in my mind, or in my, it's like a telepathy, you know, where he speak to you in your mind, you know, it's weird. I just can't explain it. If you've never, the Lord have never spoken to you, then it's kind of difficult to tell you spiritual things. But this is what it is. We are going to become one with him, and we have all eternity to get to that point. It's not going to happen overnight. Because I was asked, are you ready to learn of him? When Yeshua comes for us and we spend that millennium with him, that 1,000 years, which is also the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So when we enter into that seventh day, which is the Sabbath day that we are going to spend with Yeshua, it's a rest. It's, we are going to be, thank God, we are going to be resting. That's why it's called the day at rest. It's a shadow of things to come. We are going to be resting from the flesh because we are not going to have flesh anymore. We are going to be spirit beings, and we're not going to be sick. We're not going to age. We are going to be resting from all of this hardness and all this. We're not going to be governed by man anymore, but by Yeshua, by God himself. So it's the day of rest. That 1,000 years is the accumulation of the 7,000 years that we are going to spend, you know, here. And we are going to spend that 1,000 years, the Sabbath day rest with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are going to be taught of him, and we are going to learn of him. And there's not a trend. And the Revelation tells us that when the 1,000 years is over, then heaven and earth is going to pass away. And behold, he creates a new heaven and a new earth. And, you know, and folks, we are going, that's when eternity actually starts. You know, we are going to learn of him for all eternity. We are going to be taught of him for all eternity. We are going to love him forever and ever and ever for all eternity. We are going to be one with him for all eternity, be made one with him eventually. I was told, and eventually are you ready to be made one with him? So it's an eventual thing. It's not going to be, it's not just going to be overnight. So just know, I remember once I said to the Lord, Lord, I just feel as if I've been here upon this earth for 1,000,000 years. I just feel like I've been in this body for 1,000,000 years. That's what I said to the Lord. And I, you know, the Lord God have a sense of humor, because you can feel like that's like he allowed me to feel his anger. He allowed me to feel his amusement, like when he's amused at something I say, or when he's upset with something that I did. So he was really amused when I say, I feel like I've been in this body for 1,000,000 years. And the Lord said, you have not been in that body for 1,000,000 years, but only for a moment in time. That really impacted me, my mind. And when I read what Peter said, that 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord, is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So if 1,000 years is actually like a day with the Lord, like Adam, like when he said, if the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. So Adam died within that day. He didn't live out that day, because a day with the Lord, in God's time, you know, a day is like 1,000. 1,000 years is like a day for him, and a day is like 1,000 years. So Adam really didn't live out the day. He died before the 1,000 years was over. So when I asked the Lord, I said, I feel like if I've been in this body for 1,000,000 years, he said, you have not been in that body for 1,000,000 years, but only for a moment in time. And I have only been, if I think about living to be 1,000 years old, well, my age, you know, it's just a moment in time. I'm just like moments old, you know, and so it's really impacted me. So we know that time is just, God just gives us time to measure, to order our steps, and to, you know, and to measure our days. So when we leave this world, we know that death is not the end of our life. It's the beginning of life for us, for those of us who die in Christ. So, all right, I am kind of strained right now with my voice, and I have to, like, lay my head back in order to really not choke on talking. So I love you all very much. I went for 45 minutes this time, and I think I really overdid it, but I just want to push myself a little bit so that I can heal faster. I don't know if that makes any sense, but 708, I thank you so much for always tuning in and always keeping me company. I love you in Christ, and just let me know if any time you want to ask a question or you want to say something. I will be more than happy to put you on and to hear you. I don't know if you want me, I can still talk if you want to say hello. 708, would you like to say hello? Hello? I actually put you live if you want to say hello. All right, good night, everyone. Bye.